Wanda and Colossus by Kit Downs, ending this week's Jazz Record Requests, which was presented by Alan Shipton. And there's more jazz here on Radio 3 in just a moment.
Verdi 200, a week of programmes on Radio 3 celebrating the bicentenary of one of opera's biggest names. Music by Verdi threaded through some of Radio 3's daytime programmes. Great Verdi arias in Breakfast, overtures and preludes in Essential Classics, performances of Verdi's works in Afternoon on 3, and Donald MacLeod unravelling Verdi's life and career in Composer of the Week.
There were, as Verdi put it, the years in the galleys when he felt himself shackled to his bench, honing his craft as an opera composer. But once he'd mastered the use of the oars, Verdi propelled himself well ahead of his time.
Verdi 200, all next week on BBC Radio 3.
6 o'clock this Saturday afternoon, time now for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Julian Joseph.
Hello. Coming up on this week's show, an unexpected musical combination. The BBC Big Band perform an intriguing arrangement of Radiohead's exit music for a film by Julian Arguiles. And stay tuned to hear that glorious version in its entirety later on in the show. And in keeping with the big band theme, I'll be speaking to Australian trumpeter James Morrison in advance of his performance with the BBC Big Band next month. Also on the programme, I've got concert music recorded at this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival by saxophone master Bobby Wellens. More from that set later on in the programme. First up, brand new on Whirlwind Recordings, a CD full of New York heavyweights led by a young British pianist who hails from Doncaster. John Iscrete moved to New York in 2006 and has been making his presence felt from the moment he landed. He's created many exciting projects and presents Sabotage and Celebration with a rhythm section that includes Matt Brewer on bass and the excellent Jim Black on drums. Playing alto is David Binney, and on tenor saxophone, none other than Chris Potter. This is Laura Angela.
Thank you.
pianist John Iscrete and Laura Angela, featuring Matt Brewer on bass, Jim Black on drums, and Chris Potter on tenor saxophone. The album is called Sabotage and Celebration and is out on the Whirlwind label, the new label of the moment, releasing a diverse cross-section of excellent music. And for those of you who agree, Whirlwind are having their own festival at King's Place in London. A whole host of London and international favourites will be appearing in an event that features 18 bands in 3 days, so something for everyone. The festival runs from October 10th to 12th and includes Femi Tomowo, Alex Garnett, Mike Gibbs, Norma Winston, Gareth Locrane, and international bassist and Whirlwind Records founder Michael Janish. From the high energy of the Whirlwind Gathering to the concentrated energy of saxophonist Rob Hall in duet with pianist Chick Lyle. The album is called Chronicles and is a set of 24 pieces in which they explore a myriad of musical moods and points of view. This is Trist. Rob Hall and Chick Lyle enjoying the hypnotic moment called Trist from their new album. And Chronicles will be launched at the Corn Exchange in Bigger on October 17th as part of the Bigger Little Festival. And for more details, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Another festival gaining stature with every successful year is the Revoice Festival with Giorgia Manzio at the helm. The event centres around The Voice with a lineup that this year includes Carmen Souza, Kevin Mahogany and the magnificent Carleen Anderson, amongst others. We'll take a departure now to the soul gospel ballad territory on an album entitled Up to Now. This is Carleen Anderson and Dance in the Rain.
What would all wedding rings and public displaying. If our hearts don't sing how much we feel love, why should I take you home just so I'm not alone? And when the morning comes, all of our passion is gone. What a life we're living with our spirits missing and our visions twisted by the want to win the game. For chance to dance in the rain. We want a quick escape to take the pain away, but what a risk we take on passing fashions. Please don't get me wrong, I'm not above it at all. I know I have my faults, human conditions.
Carlene Anderson and Dance in the Rain from Up to Now, a recent best-of collection. The Revoice Festival runs from October 10th to 19th at the Pizza Express Dean Street in London. And Carlene Anderson just gave a glorious rendition of Isolde in a reimagining of the Tristan and Isolde legend at the Royal Opera House. And another gifted vocalist, singer Claudia Morris, stars in Secret Love, a new musical play which is set to tour the UK this autumn, celebrating the life and music of the legendary Doris Day. And you can catch Claudia Morris at the Camberley Theatre this Wednesday, October the 9th. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Next up, I'll be speaking with the Antipodean trumpet maestro James Morrison. He'll be touring across Europe and comes to London for a very special date with the BBC Big Band under the baton of Barry Forgy. They'll be at the Sevenoaks School on November the 6th. But before I speak with James, here he is with his own composition from the album European Sessions. This is the playful A Brush with Bunge. Australian trumpet virtuoso James Morrison and A Brush with Bunge from the album European Sessions. Welcome, James Morrison. We're speaking to him all the way over in Australia. It's lovely to speak to you.
Likewise. Great to talk to you too.
So tell me, you've got a European tour coming up. When are you going to get here and where are you going?
I'm going to be over to Europe at the end of October. Mm-hmm. And got some quartet gigs over in Austria. I think I'll be in Salzburg and also in Germany. And then heading my way over to the UK to get together once more with the BBC Big Band.
That's right. And you've got a special date at Sevenoaks School in Kent.
Yes, and looking forward to that. Just to, close to Christmas too, I guess. So been chatting with Barry Forgy, who I'm really looking forward to catching up with again, and how we can do a little bit of Christmas big band as well.
Well, I know you're no stranger to British shores and to working with British artists. I know that you've toured a few times maybe with Peter King, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely, yes. A little while ago now, but yeah. Had some great times with him.
And so tell me, at the school, at Sevenoaks School, are you going to get involved in any education work? Are you going to see any of the kids there?
I'm hoping so. I think we're just sort of working out some of those details now. But it's always great visiting a school like that, of course, to get together with some of the students and either formally or informally and, you know, talk about the music and about what we do and how we do it.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that may even seem strange to you now, but because you're an iconic jazz musician from Australia, in Australia, but why is jazz so important? And not just to you, what makes jazz so important in your view?
Gee, that's an interesting question. That's a very big question. The nature of the music itself, and it's very hard to pin down exactly what that is, but the, you know, the elements of jazz, and it's one of those things that, I mean, I love Duke Ellington's answer when they said, what is jazz? And he said famously, you know, if you have to ask, you'll never know.
Exactly.
But whatever that is that we know when we hear it, you know, and you go, yes, that's, and when you feel it, that's jazz. That feeling, that knowledge is unique to that music.
Yeah.
And it's part of, once it's got you, once it's bitten you, once you've experienced it, becomes part of your life. And it's one of those things, then without it, were that to be the case, it's no longer the full experience.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's a type of expression, a way of people, you know, telling their story, if you like, both with what they write and what they play within the genre, that is, again, unique to this genre. And, of course, there are elements in all music that cross between genres. But the particular jazz way of doing it, there's something about the immediacy of it, the improvisation, and the freedom of it. And I guess it's, you know, I never really thought about it in the terms you've asked before about what's important about it. But it's, having been asked, it's vitally important because it's the only way, if this is going to sound silly, it's the only way of doing it that way.
It's the only music that does what it does in that way. Exactly.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, James. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and all the best wishes for the show at Sevenoaks and your continuing touring everywhere. We promised our listeners actually something very special from the BBC Big Band at the beginning of the show. Here they are being navigated through Radiohead's exit music for a film by conductor and arranger Julian Arguiles. I'm sure they'll be sharing a very similar sense of invention when they play with you, James. Thanks very much for speaking with Jazz Lineup, and best of luck.
Thanks very much, Julian. Great to talk to you.
Great to speak to you, James. You take care. The BBC Big Band in all their glory with their rendition of Radiohead's Exit Music for a Film, featuring guest conductor and saxophonist Julian Arguiles. The tenor sax soloist was Nigel Hitchcock. And my thanks to James Morrison for joining me. And for more information on that date at Sevenoaks with James and the BBC Big Band on November the 6th, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. And if you enjoyed that last track, you'll be interested to know Julian Arguiles is touring with his quartet, including dates on Monday, October the 7th at The Forge in London, on Wednesday, October the 9th at the Maltings Theatre in Berwick-upon-Tweed, Friday, October 11th there at Wakefield Sports Club. And he's also appearing with bassist Mick Cody's Synergy at this year's Marsden Jazz Festival on October 12th. And this year's festival runs from October 11th to 13th. And for more details, it's also worth checking out the Jazz Lineup page. A little earlier in the show, we acknowledged the vocalist, the singer, and Warner Jazz is doing so in its re-release of choice albums. This week, the re-release of Focus is Betty Carter's Round Midnight. This is an album from 1963 with arrangements and directions from Oliver Nelson. This is Who, What, Why, Where, and When. Legendary vocalist Betty Carter and Who, What, Why, Where, and When from 1963, just reissued on Warner Jazz. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online, and on digital radio. Coming up next, we have Kevin Legendre visiting the headquarters of a very unique independent record label, London-based Gearbox Records, who specialise in releasing music only on vinyl. Before we hear from Kevin and the men behind the label, let's have a listen to one of the first releases that came out on the label. It's the Don Rendell Quintet and Manumission. Here it is, lovingly dubbed straight and direct from the 10-inch vinyl, Jazz for Moderns.
Manumission by the Don Rendell Quintet, recorded in 1962 and released on the Gearbox Records label in 2009. And here I am at the HQ of Gearbox Records in North London with Daryl Scheinman, producer and owner, and Adam Seif, executive producer, in this amazing room, which looks like a cross between a kind of spaceship and a record cutting plant, with fantastic analog equipment all around me, a ribbon mic in the corner, a really incredible, very, very beautiful old school cutting lathe, I think, for cutting vinyl, which we'll talk about in a minute. Lots of reel-to-reel machines. Lots of really beautiful pictures as well, which is quite important. There's a great picture of Lee Morgan right in front of me. And to my right, taking pride of place, is a really fantastic picture of Mr. Ronnie Scott outside his club. Daryl, let's talk about this label and what you've been doing for the last couple of years, which really seems to be capturing this golden era of British jazz and, more importantly, representing it on this treasured format of vinyl. Has the mission been to curate some of this really fantastic lost British jazz from the archives that a lot of people haven't heard before.
Yes, indeed. In fact, one of the working titles of the label, there were two working titles. One was New Live Vinyl and the other one was Curator Records. And partly because I had a lot of help from Paul Wilson, one of the curators at the British Library, in sourcing a lot of this material. So that is exactly what we have been doing, is making sure that people can hear this wonderful jazz.
Adam, when did you come on board? And tell me a little bit more about the importance of vinyl as a format for jazz.
I joined Gearbox in November of last year, 2012, and it's been really quite an incredible period of time. We've done so much in such a short period of time, building up an infrastructure for the label, which previously wasn't there. It's really just a remarkable thing, just watching the way that people have jumped on the vinyl bandwagon. But it's not only the sales of vinyl or the sales of turntables. It's the youth element. The young people are now listening to vinyl in a way that they haven't for many, many years. Just looking at the increases in vinyl sales and in turntable sales, you can really see there's a whole revolution which has been well documented over the last year. But we can really see it in sales and the way that people are looking at vinyl in general. But now they're looking for more of a quality vinyl. It's not just about the vinyl format. It's about the best you can possibly make.
Just to put non-Gearbox people in the picture, what are the other kind of choice items in the catalogue? Because you've released quite a lot in the 3 years or so that you've been going, 3 or 4 years now, apart from the Don Rendell track that we just heard. What are some of the other items in the catalogue that we should know about?
There's a fantastic Mark Murphy, which was recorded last year at upstate New York. There is Ronnie Scott with Alan Skidmore playing a very fast and furious hard bebop outing at the Paris Studios, BBC. There is a collaboration we have with Edition Records, which we did Mirrors, which is Kenny Wheeler, Norma Winston, and the London Vocal Project, which has gone down a treat.
Great. Okay, well, we talked about audio quality, and as I said, I'm in this incredible room, which does feel like this kind of spaceship with all of these fantastic machines around me. Okay, let's take a look at the lathe now, which is right behind me, the cutting machine, and Daryl is going to talk me through how to actually use it. Certainly for a lot of people who belong to the digital age, those terms, cutting a record, might not actually mean anything these days.
Yes, well, the music comes in on any format. It might be digital if it's a new band or tape, if it's an older piece of music. But even if it's digital, we put it through the tape for various reasons. And then that goes through our mastering desk, where we try to do as little as possible to it. And then that comes out of there and onto the cutting lathe, which essentially is the reverse of a turntable. So you're pumping out about 150 watts a channel signal onto a lacquer disc, which cuts grooves according to what the input is from the mastering desk.
Does it feel nice to get your hands dirty, as it were, when you're doing that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's a very tangible product. And, you know, the more you put into it, the more you get out. The more that the equipment's in good shape, the better the sound. So it's all very clear and easy to understand.
When we think of the history of jazz, a label like Blue Note is obviously fundamental, and Blue Note is defined by vinyl, the 10-inch releases, the 12-inch releases in the amazing sleeves, and it seems that what you're doing here is in that lineage. There's a continuity there, and you're upholding that tradition. I'm going to walk over to the corner of Gearbox Records, where it's all happening, where there's some live restoration going on, because Sicily, who's another member of the Gearbox team, is actually working on some old original Blue Note releases, which you're restoring. Is that right?
Yep, just they're all about 50 years old. I've got one of the biggest collections of Blue Note, original Blue Notes here. They're just sort of covered in dust and split seams and stuff, so I'm just trying to get them all into a nicer shape so that people can see them, really.
So what exactly are you doing? You're applying industrial material, or you're handling them with great care, I see.
Well, it turns out that baby wipes is the best thing for getting dust off vinyl sleeves. So that's what I'm using, and just carefully so you don't rub the ink off, but buffing them all up, making them shine, glue for the seams, and then a special vinyl cleaner to get all the dust and stuff out.
Fantastic. Well, I'll let you get on with this loving restoration job. So these records, which, I mean, we're looking at the fabulous Fats Navarro Blue Note 1531 Volume 1 in an amazing green-tinted sleeve. That's one of the classic Blue Notes. If I swing over to the right here, there are more on the wall. Eric Dolphy's Out to Lunch, John Coltrane's Blue Train, Cool Strutting by Sonny Clarke, which is one of my favourites, Dial S for Sonny, again, Sonny Clarke. The, again, very, very handsomely presented Kenny Dorham's Afro-Cuban. So these are iconic Blue Note records, which you're preparing for a special service, as it were. Where did you source these records?
These came from Tony Hall, who was a legendary producer and was head of Atlantic Records for a while and Tempo Records. And he was offloading his collection. So we got involved and took them on board with the view to, it's a little bit of an extension of what we've been doing already, you know, putting archive jazz out so people can hear it. We're also now giving an opportunity to people to listen to an original Blue Note record, because they have sort of become out of reach for most customers price-wise, because they're obviously in the domain of collectors now and becoming museum pieces. And we feel that people should be able to hear them so they can come to our studio and sit down and have a listen.
Gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Daryl Scheinman and Adam C. from Gearbox Records. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Let's play out with some great music from the label. This is the Michael Garrick Sextet with Don Rendell and Ian Carr from the album Prelude to Heart is a Lotus. This is Heart is a Lotus. Thank you.
Pianist Michael Garrick and Heart is a Lotus with Ian Carr and Don Rendell. And my thanks to Kevin Legendre for the interesting insight showcasing that vinyl is well and truly alive. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Now we go to our concert set, which features highlights from a true and absolutely jazz saxophone great, Bobby Wellens. The legendary saxophone master appeared in his hometown to play the Glasgow International Jazz Festival with a quartet. The band was to feature longtime collaborator Stan Tracy, but owing to illness, the piano chair was filled at short notice by the excellent Paul Harrison. Recorded on the 30th of June at the Old Fruit Market in Glasgow, this was the 27th Glasgow Jazz Festival, and also marked the 20th anniversary of the festival using the Old Fruit Market venue. Completing the lineup on bass and drums are Andy Kleindert and Clark Tracy. On this portion of the concert set, Bobby and the band started with Thelonious Monk's Baya. Thank you. Dearly Beloved, ending tonight's concert set with Bobby Wellens and the quartet. Paul Harrison was on piano, Andrew Kleindert on bass, and Clark Tracy on the drums, recorded at the Old Fruit Market venue for the 27th Glasgow Jazz Festival. And for all the titles played on tonight's programme, check out the Jazz Lineup playlist via the Radio 3 website. And for fans of Bobby, it's also worth looking out for a film titled Dreams Are Free. It's a very gentle and sensitive documentary about Bobby's life, charting good times and bad. It shows a man discovering his passion and working toward it, with some hiccups on the way. But he wins. And there'll be a special screening on the 20th of November at this year's London Jazz Festival at the 606 Club. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz with Jazz on 3 on Monday nights at 11. This week, Kevin Legendre sits in for Jez Nelson and features a performance from British saxophonist Tom Challenger and his Brass Mask Octet, recorded at the Vortex Jazz Club in London. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, more concert music, also recorded that same evening, featuring BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, saxophonist Trish Clues. Plus, an interview with clarinetist Arun Ghosh, profiling his new album, A South Asian Suite. So, to sign off with tonight, the mighty trio of pianist Carla Blay, saxophonist Andy Shepherd, and bassist Steve Swallow. The band play at the Wigmore Hall as part of this year's London Jazz Festival on the 24th of November. From their brand new album on ECM, Trios, this is The Girl Who Cried Champagne. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye. Thank you.
Girl Who Cried Champagne, performed by the pianist Carla Bley, saxophonist Andy Shepherd and bassist Steve Swallow. Ending this week's Jazz Lineup, the programme was presented by Julian Joseph.
The surreal. The thought-provoking.
Why should we constantly judge everything by the market value that it creates?
The fantastical. The heartbreaking.
That win really pales into insignificance as to what I lost, which was probably around 30 grand.
Celebrating 20 years of the innovative Radio 3 programme Between the Ears, a specially created Radio Symphony, broadcast in four imaginative movements over the four Saturdays of October. Shadow Play begins with an exploration of the notion of value. Part of a short season of programmes celebrating Between the Ears at 20. Shadow Play, tonight at 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Hello, I'm John Shea and welcome to this Saturday evening on BBC Radio 3, where it's now just after 7:30, time for Radio 3 Live in Concert, which tonight comes from the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow. Waiting to greet us there is Jamie McDougall.
Thank you very much, John. Yes, indeed, you join me in a very, very full Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, where tonight the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, under their musical director Peter Ungen, will be reaching for the stars as they open their 2013-14 season with a very varied, contrasting programme. This is Peter Ungen's second season in charge, and he's chosen to help launch this one with that orchestral showpiece of the 20th century, Gustav Holst's thrilling and dramatic Planet Suite. That's going to be after the interval. In this first half, the Glasgow audience will get the chance to welcome back the ever-popular and flamboyant French pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. He returns to play James Macmillan's third piano concerto that he gave the UK premiere of just last night at the Usher Hall in Edinburgh. Well, he gave the very first performance of this work back in 2011 in Minnesota with Osmo Vanska conducting. But we begin this evening's concert with a centenary tribute to Benjamin Britten, his Simple Symphony. Earlier, Peter Ungen told me the moment as a child he met and worked with Benjamin Britten.
Well, I was very, very fortunate when I was 10 years old. I was singing in a little choir at my little school, and we were told one day, next week, Benjamin Britten is going to come in and listen to you sing the Friday afternoon songs that he wrote several years ago. And if he likes you, he will take you to the Decca Studios and you will record the Friday afternoon songs. And we couldn't believe it. And of course, a week later, in walks Benjamin Britten. Now, keep in mind that at this point in the history of music, Benjamin Britten was more famous than the Beatles. Certainly my father thought so, anyway. Anybody over the age of about 35 thought so. That was the most incredible experience. We went into the studios, we recorded with him, we recorded later the Midsummer Night's Dream with him, and I even played the Indian Bells and the Fairy Band in that recording with the London Symphony Orchestra sitting there all underneath me. I was elevated on top with the rest of the Fairy Band, four of us, watching Benjamin Britten conduct. It was just incredible. So the idea of celebrating his 100th birthday with this performance of the Simple Symphony, and then, of course, with the Young Person's Guide, and then with the War Requiem later on in the season. Very exciting for me.
Tonight's conductor, Peter Ungen. Well, Britten's Simple Symphony Opus 4 is actually an earlier work than the opus number suggests. Each of the four movements contain two themes from piano pieces and songs that Britten wrote before he was a teenager. Originally for piano, he augmented it for string orchestra a decade later and would conduct its premiere in 1934 in Norwich with a group of local amateurs. As a result, it's a popular work for youth orchestras, and I can remember playing it myself as a youngster. The fun, alliterated names of the movements are a pretty good indication as what will come, starting off with a boisterous bourrée into the playful pizzicato. The violins and violas will be played under the chin and not on the lap. Things slow down in the glorious and aptly named Sentimental Saraband before the frolicsome finale brings it all to a joyous conclusion. Well, on comes the leader of the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, Maya Iwobuchi, who will take her place after a quick bow and wait for the musical director, Peter Ungen, to come on to start this evening's concert. Which he promptly does. Peter Ungen making his way out onto the podium to perform the first week this evening, first concert of the season, starting off with Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony, taking the applause of this very full concert hall in Glasgow.